Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. So this morning we have wonderful guests with us, Rick and Sandy Thompson. Stand up, Sandy, just for a moment, so they can all say she refuses to preach. And they'll tell us more about what they do, and that's why they're here. With ShareWord Global, check the t-shirts out. If you don't know what that is, he's going to explain it. If you're old enough, you might remember Gideon's. It's a rebranding of the Gideon's and an exciting story. We've had a number of connections with Gideon's over the year, and with Gord in the past, very much connected and kept us involved with the Gideon's. Rick and Sandy have been walking with us, you know, many, many years. I don't know how long it's been, but we've had that connection, and it's just wonderful to be able to give you the opportunity to share something here this morning. Let's pray as you come. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so bless this guy and Sandy as the minister. Father, we thank you for Rick. Lord, we thank you that you've called him to a ministry that is important and urgent, that takes the word of God out and makes it available to those that are thirsty and hungry. So we pray, Father, this morning as Rick shares, that you would give him the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would have receiving ears, would hear the word from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks,
Rick. Thank you, Graham. Well, good morning, folks. It's a real pleasure to be with you. And Pastor Balak, thank you very much for the opportunity to share about what God is doing through the ShareWord Global Ministry here in Canada, but also around the world as well. We so much appreciate what your church here is doing here in Canada, here in the city, but also around the world as well. I was looking at your missions bulletin board back there, and that's exciting to see what is going on there. I would also like to just mention Vi as well. Vi and her husband, late husband Gord, have been faithful Gideons for so many years, and we just so much appreciate them. And they've represented the Gideon ministry here in this church admirably, very well. Thank you very much. Well, as Graham mentioned, we used to be called the Gideon's International Canada, and a couple of years ago we changed that to ShareWord Global, not to confuse everybody, but to kind of align our national and international work, but also had some things to do with branding and legal stuff like that. So, you know, a little bit above my pay grade, but we run with it anyway. We still have Gideon branded material, like Hotel Bibles are going to have the Gideon logo, and but a lot of the newer stuff is going to have the ShareWord Global logo on it. Now, the Gideons have not gone away, but we've just changed things up a little bit. Now, we take very seriously Jesus' words in Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And also Luke chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. Go quickly into the streets and the alleys and the towns and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and go into all the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone, anyone you find, to come so that the house may be full. Now, this is not to neglect our friends and neighbors, but to encourage us also to reach out to those that we may not rub shoulders with daily, especially the marginalized. For ShareWord Global, the world means about 48 countries that we operate in. It's always with local churches to come alongside them to help them with their outreach program. Often it would involve training, resources, depending on the particular need. This can involve the gospel outreach trip or a go trip of members and friends to work with the local church and set up processes so that the work is sustained. Over the years, about five of our local members have participated in about 9 international trips. In Nicaragua, uh, In Nicaragua, Sharework Global was working in with some of the churches in some of the poorest regions of the world's poorest country. In the Mosquito region, we were able to go into some of the schools with the Spark magazine. Now, that's Chispa in Spanish, but Spark, I'm going to use Spark because you'd figure it out pretty quick. This was a huge success. The kids loved them. The principals and the teachers loved them too. The kids' behavior improved dramatically. Word started getting around and many requests for the Spark and Chispa magazines came in. This grew the operation in that region and brought more visibility. On one of the next go trips to Nicaragua, the Sharework Global team was met at the airport by men in suits driving big black SUVs. Our leaders were invited to come with us. They were taken to a big government building, taken to a nice conference room, and told to wait. Soon, the Minister of Education came in and greeted them. After questioning them about who they were and what they were doing in Nicaragua, the minister asked if we could give a Spark magazine to every single school child in the country. Hard to get your mind wrapped around this, isn't it? He explained that the government realized that the gospel was the only solution for that impoverished communist country to survive and better themselves. Certainly, they said, having no idea in the world how to go about doing something like that. The population of Nicaragua is about 7 million, and there are about 2 million school children. But God has been faithful. We're about halfway through that project with two staff members on the ground and many churches volunteering to reach to the schools. Many schools and churches have Spark clubs where the children meet for 12 sessions and learn about the 12 truths found in the Spark magazine. As the children come to faith, so do their parents. The churches are growing and excited about going into the schools and also being able to reach their neighbors too. Only God could orchestrate something like this, and we give him the praise. Here in Canada, we also do gospel outreach trips. Most are with Canadians going to specific Canadian locations for special events or specific focus. Ironically, as a result of our activity and relationships in Brazil, three teams of Brazilians came to Canada to reach Canadians, especially the Portuguese communities. Sandy and I have had the privilege of going on two go trips to Yellowknife Northwest Territories this year and last year. Yellowknife is a beautiful city in a rugged part of Canada. The Northern Lights in April declare the glory of and creativity of our magnificent God. The midnight sun in June was another reminder of his creativity and his grandeur. We met many wonderful people and resourceful people. Well, I better switch over to, there we are in Northwest Territory. We met many wonderful and resourced people, many hungry for the gospel. Yellowknife also has a serious homeless problem, and many people are underhoused. We worked with churches where there to further their outreach program and to talk with people on the streets, in the hospital, or wherever we happen to be. Early in the week, some team members met James, and James is right in the middle of that little clump of people there who uses a walker. He was dealing with alcohol and health issues and was underhoused. They shared the gospel with him and he invited Jesus into his life. The group prayed for James and specifically that he would have freedom from alcohol. We seemed to meet James just about every other day since, and he was pleased to report that he had not been drinking since we prayed for him. Another person our team spoke to was a lady by the name of Margaret, who had her struggles too. Years ago, she was married to an alcoholic husband that she had to kick out to preserve herself. They told her about Jesus, and she prayed to have Jesus come into her life too. We were leaving on Sunday, So on Saturday, Carl and Jean were driving by to the driving to the restaurant, and they passed James on the street. They drove around the block to see if they could find him and invite him to come to dinner with us. They couldn't find him until they arrived at the restaurant. And there was James sitting on his walker outside the restaurant. They invited him to come in and join us. And in conversation, James told us a little bit more about himself, how he had not had a drink since we had prayed for him, and how when he was younger, his wife kicked him out because of his drinking. Jean picked up on this and asked, "What's your wife's name?" And he said, "Margaret," who just 2 or 3 days before had come to faith in Jesus herself. Needless to say, there was a pile of rejoicing around the table that day, that night. And we encouraged him to reconnect with Margaret and together walk a walk of faith. They had maintained friendship over the years, but it was a little bit limited and a little bit cool because of his drinking. Sunday morning, we attended the inaugural service of Deeper Life Church. And this was the first night. They had been just up for the week, and they were going to start a church up there. And the very first service was at the hotel that Sunday. And James was there. For James, it was a 40-minute walk with the walker to get there. We praise God for what he is doing in the lives of the people like James and Margaret in Yellowknife. In Canada, our volunteer membership is organized in chapters across the country. Our Ottawa chapter is active in various outreaches in parks and downtown streets. We restarted high school sidewalk distributions between COVID restrictions. We didn't know how it was going to go because before the reception was kind of cool. So we picked Merivale for a trial for this. We had about 100 New Testaments in only 10 minutes. We don't give testaments to kids under grade 9. The grade 8s were coming out 10 minutes after the grade 9. So we had 10-minute window to get these testaments, give the testaments to the kids. And they were all given out in that 10 minutes. It was amazing. Some of the students, when they knew what was going on, what we were doing, they came out of their way to get a copy. We met one of those students a year and a half later. She tells us that at the time, she was in a very, very dark place. That New Testament helped her get back on track. And when we met her, she was a vibrant young woman and a contributing member of the school Christian club. Again, we praise God for stories like this. It's just amazing what he can do. The ministry over the years has evolved as society has evolved. This organization has evolved as well. Scripture magazines like The Hope and The Spark magazine have been developed, and they've been well received here in Canada and around the world. The New Life Bible app is a smartphone app that you can load onto your Bible. It has a New Living Bible translation, lots of helps, and a great search tool. We have some cards at the back that you could pick up, and it has a QR code for the Bible, but it also has a QR code for the e-magazines. E-magazines are neat little magazines. They're short. They're only about 12 to 30 pages on your smartphone, but they deal with life issues that all of us deal with, and many people struggle with. Some of the topics include identity, meaning, purpose, anxiety, and loneliness. So that's a double card. So pick one of those up if you'd like, or pick a few of them up as well, because there's a great to hand out to people. Once you understand what the e-magazine talks about, if you're able to talk with somebody and say, "Hey, I got a little resource that might be able to help you too." I would also like to mention the expression cards. I'll show you, here's the QR code. Here's some of the e-magazines that we have on there. The expression cards, you have a rack at the back. It's in the foyer. It's I kind of conscripted it for the table here for today, but I'll put it back when, where I found it when we're done. But the cards, there's memorial cards, sympathy cards, there's honor cards, birthdays and anniversaries. And if you want to honor somebody by placing Bibles in their memory or in their honor, you can use that. And the funds for those cards probably place about 200,000 scriptures every year. So it's a really great tool to use, but it's also good to express your feelings towards, in particular, somebody's passed away, somebody's loved one. So I have one more story for you. This fellow is Luke Gingra. Luke was playing in a heavy metal rock band, Doomsday. They had finished a set by singing Highway to Hell. After the set, a man comes up to Luke and gives him a Gideon New Testament and says, "Read this, because one day you're going to be singing about what's in it." Luke said, "Nah, not interested. Religion is only for grandparents and little kids." And he tried to refuse it, but the man insisted. Luke relented and kept the New Testament. He started reading it between sets. Well, as you can expect, God's word touched Luke and convicted him. He knew he needed a change. He came to believe what was written in that New Testament, and he came to faith in Jesus. He left the rock band and did start singing about what's in that New Testament. We had met Luke a number of years ago, and this past summer we met him again at the March for Jesus here in Ottawa, and it was really great to be able to catch up with him and what he was doing. Today, Luke is based in Granby, Quebec. He's written over 500 songs, gospel songs, over 20 musical albums, French, English, and instrumental. He has preached and sang in 12 countries. He has appeared and hosted occasionally on the Miracle Channel and 100 Huntley Street. This picture of Luke is from a recent fundraising concert for his prison ministry. God used that little New Testament to change the trajectory of his life and give him a purpose. He is still singing about what's in the New Testament and reaching the marginalized here in Canada and around the world. I would like to remind you again of Jesus' words. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to everyone. You know, you may not be able to go to Guatemala or Yellowknife or the ends of the world, but look around and see if there's someone nearby who needs a word of encouragement, a word of hope, and point them to Jesus. He loves each one of them. Thank you very much for your attention today, and thank you for the warm welcome. We always enjoy coming here, and God bless you. We'll see you at the table at the back.
Rick, I want you to stay here just for a moment. Can we stand together for a moment? We're going to pray for, Rick, until I, that helps. Share Word Global. I was going to use that word, Gideon. There we go. Share Word Global. Rick, you know, you and Sandy are the real deal, just as our dear Gord and Vi, you know, have modeled something before this congregation with the Gideons and just their love of the Word and their love to in sharing the Word. Also getting over the fear factor and being able to approach people is huge. So we just want to pray for you and for this Share Word Global. Father, we stand with what you're doing in our nation. And in the world. And so we honor, Lord, we just give honor where honor is due, and we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, through this incredible ministry, but also, and importantly, through these incredible people, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Continue to fan our nation with sparks that fly into flames, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Appreciate you, Rick. Thank you. Okay, you can be seated. You know, it's interesting that, you know, Rick, that you met, you probably knew him before you met him at Luke, right? And on March for Jesus? Yeah. But I marvel at the connections that we have, that God puts together. And he is connecting his body in a big way. You know, this coming Thursday is really important, and the next two Thursdays are really important. So I want to underline what Graham's already brought before us, that these men's meetings are going to be extra special because we're inviting people that God has uniquely knit us together with and has brought into our lives and into West Ottawa, and we're going to be hearing from these young men and from Young and Sunny. I'm going to start calling her Sunny because otherwise it's Young and Son. But when he signs off on his emails, it's Sunny, so we'll call her Sunny. But they'll be with us, and it's going to be, well, Sunny won't, but Young and some of the men that he has mentored over the years. He's also, I was mentioning, I think to Bob the other day, that Young is a disciple, and his mentor is Larry Bruin. No, did I say Larry Bruin? Yes. Yeah, Larry Bruin. So all these connections are incredible, but men, come on out on Thursday. Please, every single one of you, come on out and bring men with you as well, and we'll have an incredible time. So we just have a few pictures. We weren't able to bring a lot of pictures this morning, but I want to begin by just honoring my wife, if I can do that. I want to honor Valerie. You know, because this story fits in with some of the things that I'll be sharing in the next little while, but the fact that she came to Guatemala with me is really, you know, a testament to who she is and her willingness to hear from God and to pray into situations, and also a little bit of dragging on my part, Ken, you know, but she has a willing heart. She doesn't like to fly. So, okay, I should have started with that. She does not like to fly. And so adding on these extra flights to Guatemala after Fort Lauderdale was extra special. So, oh, you got a few pictures. Okay, good. So I'm going to let Valerie come up first and share a little bit. And one of the, for me, the icing on the cake was Guatemala. And it was also a real instructive time for us. It was like the Lord used what he was working in our lives there, but also built upon that in a significant way. And I'll share some things in a few minutes. So Val, come on up. I chose this picture and pictures like it. I want you to stop at one picture Valerie's going to share, so keep going. I picked this picture because there was a lot of laughter. We shared a lot of... This is the picture I sent out, I'm going to bring leave that picture up, and I'm going to let Bob just say just anything you want to say, Bob. But this is quite a remarkable picture, eh?
Yeah, when we were down in March, I met this young guy, and he was going out with this girl, and I got to share with him about the Lord. He spoke English. And he said that he really wanted to, and I think we gave him a Bible, and I encouraged him to marry the girl. And anyway, they got married and they got a baby.
And here's the icing on the cake. My goodness, they were going to abort the baby. And their pediatrician or whoever doctor they saw was a believer and said and talked to them about God and how this, you know, how God would not approve of this. And she had the baby. So they're being discipled there, the Yaxes Church, and what a delightful couple, eh? That family, the Yaxes, have four lawyers, I think. Four or five? How many, Bob? About five lawyers, and in their family, that's right. And anyway, that's another story. I'm not going to get into that. So let's stop it. Keep going until we get, let's stop at this picture right here. And Val, do you want to, Val's going to come up. And I chose a lot of laughing pictures because laughter played an important role in our time together with this entire family.
So, oh, you're sitting down. What? Little children love one another is a verse that for the last few weeks has been going through my head, and I'll explain why. So this Mama Yaks here, she's holding a little notebook that Maria, her daughter, had bought her. And they were telling me the story that they have, I don't know how many grandchildren. Anyway, lots of grandchildren. So, actually it's the great-grandchildren that were fighting. There's two boys in two different of the families were fighting, and both families didn't come to the church for a long time. I don't know if it was months. And so her heart was to, she wants to see them all in heaven with her. So she has collected or inscribed different scripture verses, and she wants to give them out to each of her grandchildren. I thought, oh, that's brilliant. Can I have that idea too? But her heart was to see them reconciled. And since then, they have been coming to church. So that story is finished. But it was her heart. And I'm thinking, like, when John, the Apostle John, says, little children love one another, he's like old, right? So I'm thinking, but it came from this woman, the inspiration of that, and she's 97. So I just wanted to read that passage where it came from. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So that's what I leave you with. Little children, love one another.
Now that's a good word. Thank you. My lovely 41 years. Woo! I tell you, some things I just repeat, and I do repeat that. And who was it? We were here the other day. There was a young couple. They're going to be married in Abraham's Church, you know, the South Asian congregation, just a young couple. And so I ran in my office, and I got the picture of my 8 grandkids and brought them out and talked to them about it. So you take every opportunity, you know, to brag on that, but also on my wife and 41 years of marriage. You know? So, I mean, there are pictures that God uses, right? There are pictures and of his heart and what he wants. And West Ottawa is a picture. This church is a picture. So I've been thinking, I've had these amazing thoughts, and they're inspired by the Lord, but they're also inspired by people of the Lord. And so I want to sprinkle over us a few things this morning. And Rick, you're going to be happy because I'm going to be using a lot of the word, and the word is so powerful. You know, it really is powerful. But this is one of my thoughts: how a little community can make such a huge difference. How can a little community make such a huge difference? For 40 years, this church has been touching Guatemala. Hey, Bob? For 40 years, Guatemala has been touched by this little church. Teams have gone almost every other year, you know, for 40 years. This is just one example, but the nations, I always, you know, Ella has, you know, that's why I yelled out, you probably didn't hear me, but you've been going to the nations as well, and I just want you to know that your life is an inspiration, you know, it really is, and now we worry about you, we pray for you, but we rejoice in you. And so when I was away, I got some emails and some texts and different things. And one was people that were in the nations at the same time we were, you know. And so the nations are like, I was going to say something, Darren, about you. Welcome back from the nations. I mean, if anybody's going to be well, let's just welcome Darren back from the nations. And his sons. And his sons, yes, this time. And, you know, it's beautiful that you travel with your sons. It's this is something that they'll never forget. It's an education beyond anything but it's just incredible. So how can a little community make such a huge difference? And I got this, a couple of revelations, and some things can't be taught. They need to be caught you need to receive them by revelation. And here's a couple of revelations. That one is that, that no single church will be able to accomplish what Jesus wants to accomplish in the earth, on the earth. No single church, no one church. I don't care how big they are or how big their programs are. You know, they are going to be limited in their success on purpose. And it's called the purpose of God. God has designed things in such a way that he will be glorified in his church. Not in a church, not in a single congregation. He will be glorified in his body.
He will have something called the bride of Christ, you know, and not a harem, as somebody said. He will not have a harem. He will have a bride, a beautiful, beautiful bride. And so by revelation, we're catching this in the city that we are richer together. We are richer because we are connected, because we believe that what God wants to do in our city will not happen in a single church, but it will happen among many churches. Now, this is another revelation that's really cool, and I really love this a lot, is that we all get to participate. That West Ottawa Community Church this morning is participating. We are participants. We are participants in the answer to Jesus' prayer. We are participants in evangelism even as we gather here this morning. We're participating in something called something the Bible says will be visible to the world. We're participating in something that will have visibility. Okay? It will have visibility to the world. In John 17, it's by this visibility that they will believe that the Father sent His Son. By this visibility. And so this morning we get to participate in this because as we walk together in unity, and I'm going to share some scriptures in a minute, but as we walk together in unity, as we love one another, we become participants in the answering Jesus' prayer. He wants His people to be one. He wants us to walk together in love. He wants, as the Apostle John said, little children, love one another. This was John's message. This was John's message, little children. You know, it really is a powerful, powerful message. But I'm gonna share with you. I'm gonna end this message on some notes that are gonna help you to see that it is so crucial that we walk in these things. You know, my life scripture, one of them is Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Well, you're going to see that there's other things that the Bible talks about above all else. That these are important words, above all else, guard your heart, because out of our hearts comes the wellspring of life. And so, John 13:35 says, by this all men will know. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 17:21, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. There is something so beautiful in love. Now, I think I have it later, so let me quote it later. But John, the apostle of love, John uses the word love 36 times. Alone between chapters 13 and 21 of his book, John. And I preached some of this in Guatemala because they have also, just like they have a lot of lawyers in their family, they have a lot of Juans. They have a lot of Johns, you know. And the first one is Juan Pedro. And he's the husband to Mama Yaks here. She kept calling herself 98 the whole time we were there, 98, 98. And she's 97, but she's going to be 98. But her husband is 98 years old. Juan Pedro Yaks is 98 years old. So Juan Pedro, Juan uses this word 36 times between chapters 13 and 21 and 46 times in the epistle of 1 John. One of the first scriptures I learned was out of 1 John, we know that we have passed from death to life. You know, I want to tell you this is really important. That we can get something by the Spirit before we even know it's in the Word of God. If you're a new believer, you're growing faster than you're reading the Bible sometimes, you know? And you're getting around to reading the Bible, and as you read the Bible, you realize, oh, I'm experiencing this, you know? I couldn't believe it, that I had passed from death to life. There was something in me that wanted out from the age of 17. This love wanted out, you know? Jesus doesn't want to stay inside. He doesn't want to stay put. He wants to touch a world, you know, through us. It's amazing. It's amazing. I love that we get to participate in this community right here. You know, that even this morning we can be about evangelism. Remember, they used to say that about Watchmen, and people would get up. People didn't like that, Lois. They didn't like that. People would say Watchmen was about evangelism, but it was. Because God was bringing together a people in the earth. He was bringing together a family. I mean, what has happened through Watchmen is staggering. I mean, around the world, you know. When you see what those videos out of Japan, or you watch these things, you know, Japanese embracing one another. They don't usually do that kind of stuff. And yet they're hugging each other, you know, embracing. Fathers and sons, I mean, their relationship is more like the military, you know. And then, but here they are, you know, like, you know, just hugging one another. So it's about evangelism this morning. It's about evangelism. If we will love one another, we will walk in unity. I love this church. I love the church. You love the church. We're growing in our love for the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the bigger bride of Christ. It's amazing. The body of Christ is so amazing. So precious. Okay, so let me keep going because I want to get to these scriptures, these Juan passages. I want to share with you about Juan. So John used the phrase the disciple who Jesus loved. Actually, six times there's a variation of this phrase in the Bible, and I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this in the book of John, that John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, when you really catch this, it is so precious. It's beyond precious, you know? I remember hearing a phrase one time. I was with a community of believers somewhere else, and they said, you know, we are among the most beautiful. These are a group of people that are among the most beautiful people on the earth, and they know it. Isn't that beautiful? John knew that he was loved. He knew that he was loved. So he calls himself the disciple who Jesus loved. And so I want to just quickly take you on a journey. Five passages, real quick, just a few verses, five verses. And I want to list the five times, I want you to see the five times that John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the author of this is, of course, Juan, John the Apostle of Love. So let's begin. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. We'll just fly through these real quick because I'm laying a foundation and then I'm going to build a little bit upon it. Okay, just here we go. Juan chapter 13, verse 23. John 13, 23, the first one. 13, 23. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Now, this is important. I have this underlined. And so John is talking about himself here. He's writing about himself. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Now just remember those words, reclining next to him. You know what I'm finding is that people who live in proximity to Jesus share similar hearts. People who abide, people who live in John chapter 15, people who are seeking to abide with Christ, abide with Jesus, to live with Jesus, to, you know, that are not satisfied with their relationship with Jesus, but want more of Jesus. Their hearts are similar to others who want the same thing. Does that make sense? There's a similarity going on in the proximity of disciples with Jesus. This disciple whom Jesus loved was reclining next to him. Next verse, Juan chapter 19, verse 26. I got to practice my Spanish here, that's why. Juan 19, 26. And I'll back up to verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom Jesus loved, okay, you got the picture? Standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved, or whom he loved, took her into her home. This is huge. Raquel and Maria were there. They're sisters, so there's three siblings in this family. The two sisters were in, we don't have a picture of it. It's so beautiful, their place. But anyway, they are primary caregivers for Juan Pedro, the 98-year father. And I'm not going to say very much about it except this, like laughter played a, I couldn't get over laughter. Like, you know, this life has a lot of sorrow, right? A lot of sorrow, lots of sorrow. And this home had every reason to be full of sorrow, but it was filled with laughter. Now, Mama Yaks plays a huge part in that. We got Bob on FaceTime at one time, because I was telling Mama Yaks that Bob really appreciated, you know, she was one of the only ones that would laugh at his jokes, eh? I like that too. Even in my dreams, Valerie laughs at my jokes. Like, this is, I think this is cool. Okay, so, but this is a beautiful picture. I like to talk about not living with regrets. Now, I have some regrets. I have some regrets that I didn't visit a friend that was dying years ago. He was a dear friend of mine, and I might mention him later in this message, in this talk, but if I don't, I want you to know this, that I do have a regret that I didn't see him when he was dying. I had an opportunity, I could, it meant going out of my way, but so that is a regret that I have, not seeing him before he died. These sisters are not going to live with regret, and many of you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to sacrifice, what it is to give, what it is to care for someone, and then afterwards, you know, have no regrets, you know. Yeah, that was well spent. That time was well spent, and you have no regrets. So, okay, here we go. So we're going to chapter 20, verse 2. So just a little over, chapter 20 and verse 2. Early on the first day of the week, this is an important day. This is the day of the empty tomb, the day of the resurrection. The first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken my Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So that was obviously John that reached it first. So the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at that. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. It's cold, too. There's something in the Bible about that. Give that to Darren there. You get it, eh? Okay, here we go. The other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, that's 20 verse 2. We're going to go to 21 verse 7. 21 verse 7. 21 verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, okay, let me back up a little bit. Just this is good to create the picture. In verse 4, early in the morning, so this is after the resurrection, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then, verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard this, he said, say it is the Lord. He wrapped himself in his outer garment, and he jumped in the water, and you can read the rest of the story. Okay, so the last verse, I believe, is 21 verse 20. So if you go down to verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? Now, I love this verse again because John takes time here to unpackage, first of all, to talk about the disciple whom Jesus loved, but also this is the one. In case you forgot, this is the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper. And you know, in the Last Supper, they got to lean on one another, you know. There's a picture, eh, in community, leaning on one another. There's a picture there. But also here, hearing the very heartbeat of God, you know, John got very close to Jesus, right? And he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And now I want to just talk about love for a few minutes and how important it is. You know that food tastes better with love. Food tastes better. Better in Proverbs 15, looks like 27. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but it is really true. It is really true. Many of us have probably experienced this, you know. Food just does not taste the same without love. Another translation says, a vegetarian meal, I'm not a vegetarian, but I love all my vegetarian friends, a vegetarian meal served with love is better than a big, thick steak with a plate full of animosity. Joel said last week, and I quote, do we end arguments in love? Do we end arguments in love? And I said to Joel afterwards, I said, this is going to produce good fruit. Thanks, Joel, for what you shared last week. This is going to produce good fruit. Do we end arguments? I want to get the exact quote. Do we end arguments in love? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How many like that verse? Eh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you love it. Bob, you're a good guy, man. I love you so much. And that just reveals your humble heart. And because we're not the same unless we run away. If we run away, then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But if we will allow iron to sharpen us, we are better off. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Another translation says, a truly good friend will openly correct you. Again, these are not, you know, fuzzy kinds of scripture, but they're very important. Verse 6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I told you about the friend that died, and I regret that I didn't go see him, you know, as he was dying. But several years earlier, this man was really close in my life as I was involved in a denomination, and he was my supervisor actually, and so we got pretty close. But the thing I noticed was that there was something. Anybody aware of the term blind spot? You know, someone said about bad breath is that you're usually the last person to know you have it. You know, and blind spots can be like that too. We have them in our lives, but unless we have someone that loves us enough to point them out, we can go through our lives with these blind spots, you know, in our lives. And so my friend liked to talk, and I like to talk too, but if you know me at all, you know that I'm a communicator that will go back and forth. Like I will extract, you know, and I will, and if I'm, you know, anyway, this particular brother didn't usually let me say very much. And when I did say something, you could tell he was just, he couldn't wait for me to be done, you know, so that he could talk, you know. And this was consistent. And I got to thinking about my friend, and I thought this is the thought I had. Who loves this guy more than I do? Who loves him enough to say something about this, you know? And anyway, long story short, I did. I said something to him, and let me come back to him in a minute. I said something to a brother this week, a brother in another country. I said something to this brother because I ran across this thing, and this brother had been doing some things that they could. I mean, they seemed innocent enough, but if he continued, they could lead down a wrong path or whatever. So I felt. This, again, is a brother that I love. So I reached out to him, and I shared this with him. And I half expected a defensive answer. I half expected that he would come back and just, you know, blow it off, you know. But he didn't. He didn't. And I have seen this. Actually, I could pull up another example, then I'll go back to my other friend. And I won't use the other example. But just to say that this, I'm just thinking right now on the top of my head, is that there are a number of examples like this. And this is actually a good thing. It shows the level of maturity that's coming to the body of Christ. There is a maturity. Ephesians says that we are coming through the fivefold ministry, that the body of Christ will mature. There will be a maturity. And so this brother, years ago, he received what I said, you know. And when I would talk to him afterwards, we had conversation, communication back and forth. And I could tell at first, he was trying really hard, you know. He had to work. He had to work at it, but he did. To his credit, he worked at that. And anyway, I just use that as an example. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. But here's where I want to conclude. I want to conclude in a kind of a negative note, because this is huge. This is huge. I have observed through my 50 years as a believer. I think I'm finally a believer now. In the sense that. I didn't know 50 years ago when I became a believer, when I was born again. I knew it wasn't at Thanksgiving because I was up at Darrell's and I was still doing drugs and I was lost in the world. But I knew between then and Christmas at some point, and I always thought it was around November sometime. So I kind of got this feeling like I'm now a Christian, okay, 50 years, okay? So I think I got to that date and it happened, eh? But now I'm going to lose my train of thought, right? Where was I saying, Graham? Oh, yes. So the reason it's important, I got that part here, but thank you. You triggered my memory. The reason it's important is, just like you, and you'll be able to bear witness to this, I have met Christians, so I use the word 50 years because I just wanted you to know I've been a Christian 50 years, but I have known Christians that carry things their entire Christian life, and it just keeps coming up, gets buried, comes up. Gets buried, comes up, and it's just, it recurs, and you know that they would not admit it necessarily, but you know they've not dealt with this. It still feels good to talk about that person that wounded them or hurt them. You know, it still feels good. And how many know it does feel good? Now, it's not a good feeling. It's not good that you're feeling, but it is a good feeling. And people get off on that. It's like a drug. I mean, you can get off on being on holding on to anger, resentment, bitterness. Like it can feed something, and it's like a drug, and you can hang on to that. I tell you, I've learned one thing.
one thing is that I'm not going to stay silent. I'm not going to stay silent anymore when a Christian, you know, keeps telling me the same thing and they're holding on to this. I'm going to send them to Judith. You know, I'm going to. But I also wanted to mention, and it's later on in my notes, Judith, but I wanted to thank you and your team for what you have done for the body of Christ. And you know, not only, as I thought about this, I thought about not only the body of Christ, but the family of members of the body of Christ. As people are healed and as they get rid of these things in their life, then those around them benefit. Not just the body of Christ. The body of Christ benefits, and that's where we get to participate, but it also is beneficial to the families that they're part of and so forth. So here's the scripture I want to end with, and it's Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. And I want you to take note of this, because this is really important. And this is really important as a community that we pay attention to this scripture, because you're going to see that there's a communal responsibility to prevent this from happening. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, starting at verse 14. Make every effort. Now, I like that. Remember my life scripture? Above all else. Here the writer to Hebrews says, make every effort. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Another translation says this, work at living in peace. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. And then it says, pursue peace with everyone as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And then here's the second verse. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I want to read that again, then I want to read it in a different translation. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now, in the next few minutes, as I conclude this time, I want to encourage you, if even there's a twinge of knowing that, yes, I have a bitter root, there's something that I have digested that has taken root, then I want to suggest that you need help, and we need help. I want to suggest that that's part of what the body of Christ does. They help one another, and they pray for one another. They walk with one another. Sometimes, I mean, even as a congregation, we have gone, I think I've been to LL three times, and each time I went, I became freer each time. Like, it just was an amazing, I mean, I tell you, an amazing experience. Thank you, guys. An amazing experience. But what I would encourage you to do is not allow that thought that you may have a bitter root to just kind of be buried again and leave that for now. If there's even a little bit of an inkling that, yes, I have a bitter root that I've not dealt with, I've forgiven with my lips, but I've not been able to release that person from my heart, then seek out another brother, another sister to pray with you, and perhaps even talk to Judith about LL. But there's various things that could be done. But the first thing is to recognize it, and that's the mercy of God, that He would show us. That's why it's so important to guard these hearts on a regular basis. Because I have people falling into my well all the time, and I and sometimes for good reason I'm upset with them. You know, they're in my well and I'm upset with them, but I can't keep them there. I've learned that well will be spoiled. It'll be, my day will be ruined. Not just my day, my life will be ruined if I carry these people in my heart, if I refuse to release them and forgive them and give them over to God. And so see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Look after each other. Here's another translation. I love this. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Look after each other. Look after each other. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And I just want to conclude. So I want to pray, and then I want to thank you. I want to say thank you, and then I'll pray. I want to say thank you for participating in answering Jesus' prayer and in evangelism. Unity is so, when a married couple have a fight, and they reconcile with one another, and they determine that they're going to walk together, they're not going to let this fight or this disagreement keep them apart, they are participants in what God is doing in the earth. when two friends, they you know, I told you during COVID, I had two guys, they were dismissing me from their life. And one guy said to me, I said, you need me. You know? And he stayed my friend, you know. He said, you need me. I said, you need me. Well, it's the same, you know, in the body of Christ, that if we, you know, it says, how's that verse go again? It says, look after each other. I like that, look after each other. So we get to be participants in Jesus' prayer, which will result in evangelism, okay, because the world will see. And then I want to just say in conclusion that we are part of the most important thing that's happening on the earth right now. You and I are a part of the most important thing. It doesn't matter what you see in the news about what's happening, like in the government or in our country or even in the world. What we are a part of is the most important thing that's happening on planet Earth. We get to be participants in the most important thing happening on planet Earth. And the world, planet Earth, is going to get invited into seeing something. They're going to see something that we are presently participating in. They are going to get to see something. Don't you love that? And it can happen on a tiny level. It can happen with you and your friends, your neighbors. It can happen, you know, anywhere. And it can happen in a citywide way. It can happen in the nation. And it can happen in the nations of the earth. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your son, Jesus. So grateful, so grateful, so grateful. We played a song in the prayer room that simply said how can I give thanks for all you've done for me? By your blood and by your scars. We're so grateful for your blood and for your scars, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm so grateful for a people that love you. I just think of that scripture that Paul wrote. He said, I know you love one another. Excel still more, he said. Excel still more. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that have been hurt, that have allowed a root to begin to grow. I know that you wouldn't have encouraged me to speak this word if you had no intention of removing that root. So Lord, I thank you that that you can do what no man can do in all of our hearts. And so we just begin where you can right now. Just take that person that hurt you, that situation that was really painful. And just reach down into your heart. Just lay hold of it right now. God's going to give you grace. He's going to release something right now, even now. But he's going to continue to release it. He's going to continue to work because he's committed to this work that he's begun in each one of us. His commitment is a sure thing. If you want to put your money anywhere, it's on the sureness of God completing what he begins. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. So, Lord, we reach in and we just lift that person out right now. We just lift it out, that hurt. We lift it out right now out of our hearts and we just present this person to you. We even say, even with the grace you give us, we forgive. I choose to forgive this person. I choose to release them from my heart. It could just be even an attitude. Some of you, it's just an attitude you've held against someone. For others, it's a legitimate hurt and that person did hurt you. But we become prisoners when we refuse to release one another, when we refuse to cover, to just choose to extend something to them that they don't deserve because we receive something we don't deserve. So I lift that person out right now, Lord. We lift those people out, those situations out right now out of our hearts. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love the work that you do. Have your way. Go deep, deep, deep in all of our lives, Lord, as we participate in answering Jesus' prayer. Let Ottawa never be the same, Lord. Let Ottawa never be the same, Lord, because we're part of something that you've chosen to move through, Lord, called the body of Christ. Amen. Amen.